Welcome back. Join me for a look at the equity space is Caroline Krimen from AdviceWorks. Thank you so much for your time, Caroline. I was quite surprised by what's happening in the US markets. You know, like I prepped this whole thing about the market still being robust and, you know, we're still seeing the markets building on gains. And I mean, we did see that on the JSE and in the European markets as well. But then you have this turnaround in the US markets. And it's quite surprising because you had James Bullard last night saying that the US is not in a recession. And you also had that services PMI coming out rebounding in July. So it all seemed like good news. So I'm wondering if there's anything specific that's bothering the U.S. markets right now.
Well, look, the services PMI, you know, is picking up. It's, you know, still got a few tailwinds from coming out of the COVID lockdowns. So I think what happened really is in June, we're very, very negative. You just had an interest rate increase. And then what happened was that, you know, the Fed actually, when they came out of the interest rate increase, it appeared as if they were indicating that they might possibly be considering that we're at peak inflation. And I think, well, I don't think that was necessarily their intention, but the market seemed to take it that way. And then, of course, you know, the market's one of the stories that are going to expand it. And the expansion was, well, maybe the pace of interest rate increases are going to flatten or they're going to slow. Since that, you've seen a couple of Fed officials, James Bullard, and Kelly is amongst them. You know, Kelly is a coordinated campaign to actually just put the brakes on the hubris.
Okay.
And actually just try to get the market back to a sense of reality.
Yeah.
So I think this is what is happening. And immediately after they started to speak, what you would look at on the market is you would look at the volatility index, which was declining after we had this good news from the Fed. And it has suddenly risen again today. So people are starting to rethink the hypothesis that, you know, things are going to be okay from here.
Yeah, I don't know. There's like a lot of confusion when it comes to the U.S. economy. Because James Bullard also said that, you know, even though we've seen a negative GDP growth in the last two quarters, but, what did he say again? He said that, yeah, the U.S. is not in a recession, but also saying that recession is in the eye of the beholder. Quite interesting.
If you've been looking at the White House, they say the same thing. But yes, it is in the Bible. But people need to remember recession is a term that somebody has defined.
Yeah.
Maybe correct or incorrect. It's very strange recession if it is a true recession.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because there's also still the strong labor market as well. Let's take a look. Yeah, let's take a look at the Bank of England, which didn't really surprise. I mean, largely the market had priced in that 50 basis point hike, the largest since 1995. You can just really tell how nervous they are about inflation, saying that they expect inflation to peak at 13.3% in October. They didn't have that much of a choice, did they?
Look, no, they didn't. And you know, one, even if you look at that 13.3% projection, you know, it, considering the fact that their rate is now 1.75%, you know, you wonder why that rate is increase was so little,
yeah,
you know, as opposed to being the biggest. You know, so are they doing enough? You know, just from an economic perspective, I'm not so sure, but,
yeah,
you know, they are very bright people there. I think just really for their economy, you know, they say that they're going to go into recession in the fourth quarter. They'll be in recession for the whole of 2023. It really does look very,
yeah,
very, very bad for them. And I almost think that, you know, it's a strong possibility that that may get worse if you have an energy supply crunch going into winter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not a great place to be at this point.
Indeed, indeed. Let's group the packaging companies, the paper companies on the JSE that came out with results today. So we had Sappi and Mondi. Sappi in coming out with record earnings, benefiting from the tight current market conditions. And then you had Mondi also coming out with strong results, underlying EBITDA from continuing operations up 66%, also reporting an expansion in margins. I was looking at that share price movement earlier on. Sappi, after the results, was up 2.5%, but now I think down about 4.5%. And you also saw the same kind of movements in the red for Mondi, down 6%. What did you make of those different results?
So I think initially on the first reading, these are both very, very good set of results. I mean, especially if you look at, you know, Mondi having to take quite a big knock the write-offs of their Russian assets. Safi, fantastic. You know, the way they've managed to reduce their debt. You know, both these are very well-managed companies. They've got a lot of cash flow. You know, the business is definitely there. But when you read through it, it is that old boogeyman out there, which is inflation.
Yeah.
You know, these are hard commodities, inflation. You know, they actually build things. So, you know, they use equipment, they use oil, and they need wood. You know, all of these prices are going to have a negative impact on the earnings. So I think this is what the market took away when they really read through those results.
Yeah, so maybe, yeah, really the outlook rather than the actual results that we did see. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at Mediclinic and Remgro finally reaching terms on a buyout offer that values Mediclinic shares at £3.7 billion. A unanimous backing from Mediclinic's board. So, I mean, are you with the board on this?
Listen, it is a very, very generous offer. You know, they came in high and they didn't quibble about it. So, you know, for the board, I would take the offer. And if you read through the prospectus of this particular corporate action, you know, what they do say is one of the reasons for delisting is because of they want to be more flexible, you know, as a business. Very, very difficult. And this is a complaint we don't only have in South Africa, it is global. Mm. You know, it's very, very difficult and very restrictive to be on a public market if you need to make real changes to a business. So, you know, Remgro, almost a family company, I would say. MSC, the other 50% partner, is a family company, a very odd family company, you know, considering that they do cruises and they do containers.
Yeah.
But these are clearly two families who know how to make a business work. So I think this is the reason for the delisting. Directors of Mediclinic are probably looking at it the same way.
Yeah.
I think staff should look at it the same way. The only staff they're going to lose is possibly in London.
Okay.
But better for the business.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to your stock pick for tonight, Caroline.
Okay. Well, I never thought I'd say this in a million years. My stock pick is Anglo American. And it is a very different company to when I started working. Very, very well managed company. That new management has really come in, you know, with the bank. They've gotten rid of all the little rats and mice there. And just, I think, a very, very nice outlook for this company. The commodities that they've got, you know, these are what I call the future-leaning commodities, the commodities we're going to need in the future economy come hell or high water.
Yeah.
And in addition, they've got quite a lot of copper capacity coming online as well. So if you need an exposure to a commodity company, they're geographically diverse, they are commodity diverse, good management, we need these commodities.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time and just walking us through what has moved the markets today. That was Caroline Kremen from AdviceWorks.